thanks very much. Hi, guys. It's me. It's Bill. Wendy has the day off, scheduled to appear at some time between now and the end of the show from your WGN TV Morning News, the host of Around Town. It's our favorite friend, Ana La 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 La. She will be here at some point today. Steve, how was your 4th of July? Did you have a nice time?
I had a very nice time. Went to the parade, went to a party, went to the fireworks, did it all. I love
you
the 4th of July.
You did everything you were supposed to do on the 4th of July.
I think I did, yeah.
Did you grill something?
I did not, but I did eat grilled food.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I went to some, made someone else grill.
Did you take a moment to honor your favorite Patriots?
I can't stand the Patriots.
No, so Rob Gronkowski tributes?
Not nothing? Even if they retire.
All right, that's fair.
I did not, but I love the 4th of July.
Isn't it a great holiday?
It's one of my favorites.
It really is.
One of my top 10, definitely.
One of my friends said they should do what they do with Thanksgiving, and it should always be on a Thursday, because, I will state the obvious, it makes for a 4 or 5 day weekend, right, which explains why I thought the last few days were a weekend. Because in my head, it was a weekend.
The hitch and the giddy up is they call it the 4th of July.
Yes.
So that would be difficult. Although I don't think this country is beyond that.
Right. Sometimes Monday Night Football is on a Thursday.
Right.
Oktoberfest is oftentimes celebrated in months other than October.
Incorporate a white sale or a linen sale.
Right.
For an annual 4th
of July. There's got to be a way to do it.
Right.
But doesn't that kind of make sense? The way Thanksgiving is always on a Thursday, which provides you almost a bonus holiday on Friday,
mm-hmm,
if you do your 4th of July on a Thursday. And again, Your gripe with this is valid.
The purists
will tell you that the 4th of July should be held on the
4th of July.
But we also had a controversy at Halloween with people saying Halloween should always be on a weekend. It's always been October 31st. Enough of that nonsense. Put it on a weekend. It's better.
Really? I didn't hear that.
Oh, yeah.
See, the adults have ruined Halloween or taken it over.
Yes, they have. But it also shows that our generation is not content with anything,
right,
doesn't it?
Right.
Halloween's been on the same day for a billion years. 4th of July's always been on... I can't have that anymore. Let's make it more convenient for us.
So instead of 4th of July, we'll start calling it like the Independence Day.
Independence Day.
Independence Time.
Yeah. That's more equitable.
Right. I'll see you at Independence Time.
Right. That is a very nice...
Like Christmas Time.
If I were you, Steve, I would trademark that very fast.
You know, I've got so many phrases trademarked right now.
Give me an example. What's one you already have?
I'll say the world.
Oh, yeah. That's you. That's
right.
Anytime I hear anyone say that, I automatically think of you.
Why is that?
Because you're the only one who says it. I think it's because you're the only one who says it.
I'll say the world.
All right. I have to start out. Sad news from the world of publishing. As Mad Magazine has announced, they will no longer be on newsstands. They're not saying that they're folding up Operation 100%. They're saying you can still buy Mad Magazine by subscription and that it'll be available at some comic book outlets. But just to go to any place where there's a newsstand
and buy it,
That'll be impossible as of August. You can't do that anymore.
Is this because President Trump said Pete Buttigieg looked like Alfred E. Newman?
Yes. That's what did it.
That's Mad Magazine, right? Yeah.
I think it is. Yeah, Alfred E. Newman is Mad Magazine. The What Me Worry Kid.
Right.
Yes. Yes, yes. Isn't that crazy, though? Wasn't that one of those things, like in our lifetime, there's been a bunch of stuff that you never thought would go away? I'll give you a couple of quick examples. I never thought all my children would cease to exist. I thought, my children will be here when the world is over. They'll still run episodes of Erica Kane trying to find love.
Right.
Right. JCPenney stores. I never thought that would go away.
Well, they're still around.
There's a sprinkling of them.
Right.
But forever, you knew if there was a shopping center somewhere, JCPenney's would be involved. They would have a store in the shopping center. And those days are over.
With that picture of JCPenney over the registers, right? Did you have yours have that?
The one that I shopped at normally didn't have one, but I had been to some that did show Old Man Penny.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you could also throw Sears or Sears Roebuck.
Would always be around.
Would always be around. And it's not the case anymore. Dominic's to some extent here in Chicago, not nationally, but locally. You always thought there's going to be Dominic. Dominic's and Jewel will always be at each other's throats. Not anymore. But Mad Magazine going away? Here's what they say. A source indicated that issues after number 10, I don't know why they're issuing it as number 10 for Mad Magazine, will reprint earlier material with new covers. So for the next few episodes, or the next few issues, I should say, of Mad Magazine, you'll get a new cover on your Mad Magazine, but the contents will be all best of material.
I've never heard of such a thing.
I haven't heard of that either. That's bad planning.
That's like, That's a ripoff.
That's very bad planning.
You're buying a cover.
You're essentially buying a cover and then a bunch of material that if you're a fan of the magazine, you probably already own. Now, when I was a kid, I can't speak for you, but Mad Magazine didn't come out every 30 days like most magazines. Mm-hmm. It came out, I think, every month and a half, which was odd. But my friends and I had the schedules sometimes written down, or at least in our heads, where we knew we got another week to wait, we got another 5 days to wait. It was that big of an event.
Does that make sense? I was never that into it. I mean, I would see it at the barbershop or something like that.
Is that who had it by you? Is the barbershop?
I think Clodys had it, yeah.
Yeah? Oh, God, we all bought it, and then we'd all read it cover to cover, day one and day two, and then exchange notes on what what worked and what didn't work. There was so much stuff in there that we just loved. And the outpouring from celebrities has been amazing. All the people who said that Mad Magazine influenced their comedic decisions. You know, it predated stuff like Saturday Night Live. It was a constant source of...
Well, I was going to say, where does National Lampoon fit in there?
National Lampoon was really the grown-up version of Mad Magazine. Like, once you had your taste of Mad Magazine and you got a little bit older and hopefully more sophisticated, you would just naturally kind of move on to National Lampoon, wouldn't you say?
That's the way I would put it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I just loved it so much.
Have you read it recently?
It's probably been since college that I bought one.
Right.
I've paged through one or two in grocery stores, but I haven't bought one, I think, since I was in college. And partially for the reason you just mentioned, at some point I just went, well, National Lampoon is more my way of thinking now.
Right.
But then that went belly up. Because that started out just at Harvard, right? That was the Harvard Lampoon, and then it broadened.
Right.
And grew.
And then Chevy Chase got a hold of it.
Yeah, and then Chevy Chase got a hold of it. Mad actually tried to copy National Lampoon. When National Lampoon had a big hit with Animal House, Mad Magazine said, well, we'll do the same thing. We'll open up a movie branch. And their first, and I think only movie, was Up the Academy, starring, do you know who?
No.
Up the Academy was Mad Magazine's Animal House.
Okay.
And it starred Harry Tynowitz.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, there were other celebrities in there,
but no one left the theater talking about anyone other than Harry.
That way, he got all the buzz.
Right, I can see that.
He received all the buzz.
I don't think I knew that Animal House was Lampoon. I guess I did.
That was their first, and then
they didn't call it like National Lampoon's Vacation. Like, they didn't call it National Lampoon's Animal House, did they?
Yeah.
Did they?
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember
that. It was a big deal. And then, like you mentioned, Vacation was under their umbrella title, and they had a bunch of others that weren't huge hits.
Right.
I'm trying to think of which ones come to mind. There were a couple that they tried that were okay, but they didn't have any of the impact that Animal House had or any of the Vacation movies. But yeah, they had that going for a little bit. Yeah. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We've got a full show ahead. Stick around. It's Bill and possibly Anna Balaval sticking around. Stick around for that. More after this. It's WGN. Bill Left with you on WGN, and may I present to you, this is my gift to you, Chicagoland. It's our friend from WGN TV Morning News, Anna Balaval.
Okay, I just looked at the rundown.
And?
My last name is so misspelled, it's not even funny.
What? How misspelled could it
that?
Be? Ashley is filling in as
Ashley.
Producer today. It was
you
somebody else.
It was Jasmine.
It could have been Jasmine trying to sabotage you.
That's why she left.
Yes. We've had spelling errors in the past, and we said one more spelling error, Jasmine.
Is this how
hit
you
the
pronounce
road.
It? Is that it?
How are they spelling it?
Bevelal.
Oh, that's not even close. That's not even close. Maybe you're not scheduled to be here.
Maybe
somebody...
Maybe it's Anna Bevelal. Is it Anna Devalantis?
No. No, that's okay. Oh. Well, can you just switch it with crayon or something? Can you just write it in correctly so you feel
I
better?
I may. If it's going to give me problems communicating.
I just don't want, like, during the show, let's say we're on some sort of a streak and you look down and you see this. I don't want it to throw you off your game.
Exactly.
No one wants that.
I'm looking at everybody in the monitors. It's so nice to be here. I'm seeing
it's nice
Steve
to have
Bertrand.
You here. Yep.
And I think, is that... The other Steve from sports? Who's the guy on the phone?
That's Dave Ennett.
That's Dave Ennett.
Yeah, he's making an important phone call.
Are you watching people?
Watching people. You know, I don't get to do this on TV because I don't have a monitor.
They don't give you a monitor
and
on
I
TV?
And I love you guys on WGN Radio, so it's like I'm like fangirling when I come here.
Did you hear?
They don't believe me, but I am.
We all believe you. Mark
they
Harmon
all
brought.
Seem a little scared when I come here.
Oh, here at GN,
like,
they
the
are scared.
The first time I hugged Bertrand, he was like, "Oh,
was he afraid?
Oh, we're hugging."
Yeah, why? But the next
why?
Time.
But the next time he goes all in,
right?
And then I think that Dave Bennett is afraid because I always say he looks like a Spanish soap opera actor, and he's like, "Who is this? Who did they bring here?"
When you say that Dave looks like a Spanish soap opera actor, do you mean one particular mm-hmm. Spanish soap opera actor, or
last
in general?
Time. Nope. Carlos Larrañaga.
Oh, he gets it all the time.
I'm sure.
People stop him and they go,
well,
Carlos Larrañaga.
Well, if he would join Steve Bertrand in the Bertrand travel,
yeah,
he could go to Spain. Bertrand, I got your next trip.
Okay, we'll do it.
Wow, would that be fun?
Wouldn't that be fun?
But would you bill it as
Carlos
actually being there? Or would you say, or a
no,
Carlos?
No, he's dead.
Oh.
He's dead. But,
that makes
you
it
know,
sad.
We could sneak.
Your story just became sad.
We could sneak Dave in.
To pretend that he's the ghost
go
of
like,
Carlos.
Wait, wasn't Carlos dead? I'm sorry, I completely ruined the show.
No, that's
you
a
were,
great
you were
idea.
You're talking about Mad Magazine.
I don't even know if that holds any intrinsic value to you. Did you read Mad Magazine when you were growing up? Did they have it
my
in Puerto Rico?
Did. They did had have it in Puerto Rico, yeah.
What was it
yeah.
called
Well, you
there?
Know, you're, we're part of the United States.
Oh, I know that, yeah. but some stuff doesn't... There are things we have here that they don't
Trust
have
me,
there.
We didn't have any wheat bread. We called it brown bread. Honestly.
I believe I mean, that.
It's an island, so you don't have that many choices.
Sure.
We had, my brother would get mad.
He'd get Mad Magazine?
Yes,
yeah.
He's going to be upset. Yeah.
I almost don't want him to know. I'd feel better if your brother was not made
okay,
aware of this.
We won't tell him.
Let's just keep it a secret.
Maybe he's not on social media, so he should be fine.
Now, I wonder, you know, there are some magazines that are geared toward either men or women. I wonder if Mad Magazine, and I don't know why it would be, it's just a humor magazine, but my wife had no interest in it whatsoever. Her sister was over yesterday with their family. She had no interest in
no,
it whatsoever.
No, neither did I.
But why?
I guarantee you my husband loved it. Yeah.
yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure there are women who love it.
You're
but...
a fan of comedy and that's what they were providing. Why wouldn't you have read it?
I may have been a little young for it.
Oh.
When my brother's 6 years older than me. So when
oh,
he was
maybe
getting
that's
it.
Why.
And then when he stopped getting it, then it
yeah.
wasn't around the house.
What about the Spanish soap opera actor Carlos? Did he enjoy
La
it?
Larrañaga.
Is there any documentation that Carlos, how do you say the last
La
name?
Larrañaga.
Larrañaga.
Okay. For Spanish impaired, Larrañaga.
What does that translate as?
Nothing. Last name, Bill. Does left translate to anything?
It does not.
The Messiah? I don't know.
No,
it translates
definitely.
To nothing, but it means a lot.
Exactly.
Thank you, Steve.
At least for his girl.
Steve and I had to rehearse that. A couple of things. Number
yes.
one, the most important question of the day. Did you and your family have a nice 4th of July?
We did.
It was fun? Anything
I was off, which was weird.
That rarely happens.
That rarely happens, and it was really nice.
Who handled your segment yesterday?
Nobody.
Which is a question
we were...
I only ask close personal friends.
Which...
Who handled your segment, Anna?
We were short-staffed, so they were like, don't book an around town because we don't have...
Oh.
Sweary Mary's on vacation.
She is.
Yeah.
Where does she go? For people who don't know, she's called Sweary Mary for the simple reason that she works on the show and has well, she talks like a truck driver.
She has a colorful language.
Yes. That's the polite way to say it.
Yes.
And if there's truck drivers listening who don't swear...
Don't be offended.
Don't be offended. You should be swearing.
I grabbed Mary for my Facebook Live on my Facebook page
yeah.
because I didn't like to be alone doing the Facebook Live many years ago.
Yeah.
And she became a staple and someone on the Facebook named
yeah.
her Sweary Mary because she would often... Would let out
an expletive. Yes.
And I wouldn't, but she would.
Yes.
And so they're like, oh, they're Sweary Mary. So now they stop her on the street. She's in Alaska visiting her niece.
Do they ask her when they spot her on the street, do they say, can I take a picture of you? And
yes.
would you swear at me
yes.
during the photograph?
Yes. They have, I'm telling you.
They've asked her
yeah,
to do
hey,
it.
Can you swear for me? She's like, it's organic. I just don't.
You can't be forced.
No, you
it
can't.
It just happens.
Like when someone goes, oh, you're a stand-up comedian.
Tell me
tell
a joke.
Tell me to be funny. You're
right.
like,
mm-mm, I'm off
no,
the clock.
Uh-uh.
Yeah. What is her favorite? Like, is there one that's the most common or the most all-purpose that she just has at ready at all times?
F-bombs.
Is that
she
right?
She really loves her F-bombs.
And how do you react when that happens?
I'm used to it. It's
You've
been
heard
a
it before.
Marriage of 14 years. I'm used to it.
Do you know Wendy, who's usually here on the show?
She's a potty mouth.
She swears. Now, I told her at one point, I say, you swear more than anyone I know. And she was offended by that. And I said, I take that back. You swear more than everyone I know put together. Because it's true, she does. And that upset her. And she said, I'm going to make an effort and not swear as much. And that, and for 3 days, she didn't swear hardly at all. And then she made up for lost time.
Mm.
Yep.
I
and
swear.
Some of the swear words... are like, you know, in cartoons when they swear and they're not like, yeah, they're just a bunch of angry letters.
Yeah.
I don't know what, I don't even think
the at symbol and the exclamation point.
You get that kind of swearing.
You would get that from me because I swear in both languages. I knew I was fluent the day that something happened to me and the first swear word that came out was in English.
Oh, really?
I was like, I'm so proud of myself. I mean, I'm miserable, but I'm, wow, I'm finally fluent.
Which is the one that is the most effective for you? What is the swear word that you would use most often?
My kids would say it's something in Spanish.
Yeah.
Probably the F-bomb. We use the F-bomb a lot in the news business.
Can I? Maybe you can help me.
Hey.
Oh, you've offended Steve. I knew that would happen.
Bertrand.
Frank? What?
Yes. Maybe you don't swear because you are a goody two-shoes.
But in the news business, that's the word you need to use because it's the most forceful.
Yeah.
Right, and the
moves, but you know, it's dangerous because, you know, then you go on the microphone, and Lord knows what will come out.
Yeah,
right. So I don't know how we can turn it off. God forbid that ever happens.
Right.
I've only sworn once on the air.
Oh, you did,
and that's because I thought I was going to run a. I was on a Segway, and I thought I was going to run into a wall, and under my breath I went. Mm.
But the microphone picked it up,
and Terry Barthel, my former producer, went in my ear and was like, did you just say beep?
Oh, no.
And I ignored it. And then I went and I cried in the car. I was so upset. I thought I was going to get fired.
Yeah.
And I went to the station and my boss is like, it's okay. Just next time, apologize about it.
Oh, really? That was it?
Yeah, they want you to apologize right after. Not to be throwing them around, but if you do it,
be ready to apologize.
Yeah. Like the other day around town, I left it in charge of Jeff Hoover.
Yeah.
And there was a song in the air guitar competition he was at or whatever it was that used the F word. And so Larry had to apologize.
Yeah.
And
that made it okay.
Yeah, we still got in trouble. But
are there, like when somebody accidentally swears now, there was a time where the switchboards would have lit up with angry phone calls.
They still do? Yeah, they still do. They still do. Yeah.
Help me with this. My mom was not Hispanic. Please help me through this.
I will help you.
My mom would swear from time to time, but she liked to say Jesus Maria, which means Jesus and Mary, of course. Why would she have done that? She's not. Isn't that strange?
Was she the Jewish one, too?
No.
Oh.
No, she was Slovenian. Mm. Like our first lady.
Are you sure that wasn't Slovenian she was speaking? Slovak?
She said it with kind of a Spanish flair.
Ah, with castanets?
And then, with castanets.
And then would say, ole.
And then a bull would come out.
And she would start running.
We were all mesmerized by how it all synced up. It was as though she had a production team working on it. I don't know how she did it. Can you stay for the whole show?
It depends on
you. So we'll see how things go.
It depends on you.
That's
honestly
fair.
And Bertrand. Watching me like a hawk from over there.
I don't want to reveal who this is. It's a little secret in radio. I'm going to get people to listen later. A comedy legend passed away over the last few days.
But wait a minute. Okay.
But
I know who the comedy legend
was. Do you know who it
was.
Is? Yeah.
Okay.
Should we leave it at that or do you want to reveal more?
That.
All right. So somebody died. Now, I only bring it up because from time to time on
you
the show,
kill people.
I accidentally
kill people.
I'll mention somebody's name whose name has not been mentioned in a long time, and then within 48 hours, the person died.
Did you do this to Leah Coca? Because I thought he was
not.
Dead.
No.
Was that happened last week, and then you killed Iacocca?
I did not kill Iacocca.
My dad had his book.
Oh, everyone had his book. That was a huge bestseller.
The book made it to Puerto Rico, you were wondering. Yeah, on a ship.
With Mad Magazine. You had to buy Mad Magazine, and they threw in the
Iacocca
book. All right. Anna has decided to stick around for the time being. We'll see how things go. More show ahead. It's Bill and Anna for the time being on WGN. Steve, thanks very much. Anna Balaval is here. You know her and love her from the WGN TV Morning News, where you play the role of Anna. Yeah, people love you.
Okay.
You're beloved and loved. You're both.
Once a day, I have to hear that.
What about our friend Pat Tomasulo? Pat had a great show going, and we just found out the other day that they pulled the plug on the show. Is he doing okay?
He's okay.
He's told all right?
He wrote back that he was fine.
Oh.
And
do you believe? Are we to believe this?
Pat was hoping that this would last longer.
I was
but
too.
He was not.
I enjoyed watching it. It was called Man
so
of the People.
Good. So good. So
I binge watch it sometimes.
Nice.
I'll bring people in and we'll just sit and we'll watch 10, 11, 12 episodes at a clip.
Yeah.
Yep. That's the best way to watch it, I think.
Pat Tomasulo is bingeable.
Yeah, you can binge
him. He's bingeable.
Yep.
And he's doing fine, you know.
You think another show will pick him up now?
I don't know.
I hope so. I'd like to see him on another show.
Well, not on the WGN Morning News.
Is Two Broke Girls still on? I'd like to see him on there.
I see the billboards all the time.
Yeah, so maybe that's still on. It could be Two Broke Girls and Pat Tomasulo.
And Pat Tomasulo, who's not broke. No,
got a lot of money.
He will still be on our show, and maybe Man of the People.
I'm hearing he won't be on your show either now. I'm hearing.
Shut up.
That's what people are saying now.
I don't like it.
I hope that's wrong.
I love Pat.
I love him, too, and I wanted his show to still be on, and I wrote a very angry letter.
A letter.
Not about this.
That's
going to
get there
else.
In 2 weeks. Right. People have been tweeting
I sent an angry
texting.
Telegram.
Wow.
A huge, angry, singing telegram.
Let me make sure we don't
telegram.
Count on you for any GoFundMe.
I hope not. All right. Shall we divulge the comedy legend who passed away in the last few days? This
yeah,
is very
wasn't
sad
it the
news.
Man from Laughing?
Yeah, the man from Laughing is gone, ladies and gentlemen. Artie Johnson.
Artie Johnson.
Who many of you know. Here's a little sound clip of, this is a compilation. Artie Johnson was on Ronan Martin's Laughing for 5 years. Here are some magic moments from Artie Johnson.
Very interesting.
That's the man from Very
but
Interesting.
Surely supercilious.
Oh. He is gone.
Are we observing?
A moment of silence, yeah. Okay. Hold on. So the thing I liked most about him mm-hmm. was that the comedy that was done then, and this was considered very cutting edge yeah. in the late 1960s, mm-hmm. Ronan Martin's Laughing, I think, curbed the market on cutting edge comedy. But when you watch it today, it doesn't hold up.
No?
Nope. Nope.
Like if you show it to the girls, they won't laugh?
There is a special on Netflix right now, which is half reunion.
And yes, I saw that. Is that worth watching?
Nope. It's not. It makes me so sad to say that because I love that show so much.
Maybe that's why he died. No, that's not why.
Okay. He was in his 90s. The other day, now, like I said, I have a reputation of sometimes mentioning a celebrity's name.
Don't mention anybody.
And then sadly they die.
Not on my watch. Don't do that on my watch.
You know what happens on it is we get texts from people saying, could you please mention my mother-in-law's name?
No.
We get a lot of texts from people who say,
no.
I'll send you money. I'll get you tickets to a sporting event.
Who listens to this?
Could you just say, could you just say the name of ...
No.
And I'm not going to do that. I think that's bad karma.
No.
Although, you know, make a little extra summer cash. I'm thinking about it, but I'm not committing to it.
I mean, you could do voiceover work. It's okay.
I could do, right. There's other avenues to explore. Mm-hmm. So Eric Zorn is in on Monday.
The legend?
The legendary Eric Zorn. And he says, hey, what about this Laughing special? Have you seen it? And we talk about it.
No.
And then I said, now this was Monday.
No.
I said, you know, they didn't put Artie Johnson in there, which
and
means.
You killed Artie.
Did I, though? I don't think I did. Because I didn't say it on the air. Normally, I have to say it on the air.
So it doesn't
count as a kill. Yes.
God forbid.
The last thing I wanted was to lose Artie Johnson. No one wanted that.
Does this happen with any age range?
Yes.
Oh, so you've.
It has happened to people younger and older. It's happened, I would say, in the last few years, a dozen times.
How good are you at a Deadpool? You know how people.
I can't. They won't let me in.
No.
I'm banished from Deadpools because I have an influence of saying the person's name and then they die. Mm. So back to Artie Johnson for just a second. Do you know of a show called Tattletales?
No.
All right.
Do you want to call Toomey now? Is this the part where Mike Toomey comes in handy?
No.
And you go, I called the wrong person from WGN.
No, you're fine. Mm. I want you to be here because I'll tell you exactly what Tattletales was. Bert Convy hosted this game show where you had three celebrity couples. Mm. Vying for, you know, obviously like every game show to win.
Okay.
So Bert Convy would introduce them. And Artie Johnson was always on with his wife, who was German, and her name was Gisela. And she was a tall, statuesque blonde woman who spoke with a thick German accent.
For real, that was his wife?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was his wife. Right up until now. Now his widow. They'd stayed married from the 70s on.
Aww.
But I always wondered if Artie Johnson let his wife know or showed her tapes of him playing that German soldier, because I would think that would be wouldn't that be offensive to her, though, to see him playing the German soldier?
I don't remember. I only know from the German soldier that is very, very, because my husband does that all the time.
Do it again.
Very, very interesting.
That was part Dracula, part German soldier, but it worked for me. I thought that was wow, a great, that was a great tribute to Artie Johnson. Right.
My accents in global. English are not good. When I do like a millennial, when I
do that, can I hear a little of that? Here's you doing an American millennial.
That's like, this is totally Instagrammable.
That's very convincing.
And Thomas Sula's like, you have no Spanish accent when you make fun of
that was very
Valley
convincing.
Girls or millennials or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't want to speak like that.
No, you don't, but it shows you can you have the ability.
Range. I don't know. My accents in Spanish are a lot better. Like, I can pretend to be Argentinian and Venezuelan, Colombian. Let's not do it now because I see it in your face. Stop
but,
it.
But to our ear, to the... Uh-huh.
It'll sound the same.
It's a very subtle difference, all right. The ones you just mentioned.
Now, I don't know because I haven't watched Artie's... A full clip of that.
A Venezuelan trapped in an elevator. Go.
Chama, qué bolas. ¿Cómo vamos a salir de aquí?
That's outstanding.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. You could take that on the road. You could do 16 cities.
Wait.
People would love that.
I should have.
What do you got?
Chama, nos quedamos atrapadas.
Also very good.
No.
What did you say? Translate that for me.
Chama is like, girl, are we stuck in
that
here?
That was outstanding.
You're welcome.
And I could. I know you didn't push the buttons, but in my head, I heard you pushing all the buttons.
Right?
That was very nice. Mm. That was very, very nice. Mm-hmm. So the thing about Artie Johnson was...
Back to Artie.
He would play this German soldier who all he needed to do was he would poke his head out of the weeds because I don't know if you know this about Germany.
Full of weeds.
Everywhere you go. That's all you get is weeds. They have no weed control at all in Germany.
Mm-mm.
Zero.
That's why they lost the war.
Yes. It is amazing.
We killed the weeds.
Yeah, then what? All right. So he would just pop out of the bushes. You'd see the top of his head with the German helmet. He would say, very interesting. And then there was always a throw-in, but stupid, like that. Mm-hmm. And then he would go down, and the audience went nuts. They would applaud.
I don't find that
offensive. It's not offensive.
Offensive is if he would have played like, oh, that's the stupid German.
But right. It's not offensive, but my question is, does that hold up as comedy in 2019? What was happening in 1968 that a nation embraced that? A nation went, German soldier in a bunch of weeds who thinks something's interesting. Wow. Why was that so funny then? And what happened in the interim that makes it not funny today?
Germans are not the enemies anymore. I don't
know. Is that what it is?
Could it be funny if it was Russians? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. Were the people watching laughing old enough to remember World War II? And
I don't know. I don't know. All right, so if he's not a German soldier, just make him instead he's a lion tamer from Borneo. Is that funny if a lion tamer from Borneo puts his head up and says very interesting, but
we don't
stupid?
Have any connection to the lion tamer from Borneo.
I guess. I can't explain why, because I don't understand why something was so funny then.
You're having a problem, but you're grappling with this.
The other thing he would do is sometimes he would ride a tricycle, and then the tricycle would tip over, and then again the crowd would laugh. The audience would laugh and applaud, because it was a man on a tricycle that tipped over.
That sounds a lot like the WGN Morning News comedy.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. If
what do you
somebody
mean?
Said,
that's not resonating.
I got something. We'll put Dean Richards on a tricycle,
absolutely.
And then while he's riding, he'll tip over.
Absolutely. Dean Richards has fallen while running in a race, and they all laughed.
Right.
And he pulled a hammy, and it was awful.
That's not funny.
I was
it's
the
tragic.
Only person who came to save him on the air, and the others just laughed. I have fallen.
Maybe, if I may suggest,
go ahead.
Maybe it's once the tragedy takes place, like Ronan Martin's laughing, if you play this, then it's funny.
Yeah.
You take something that's not funny.
You need a good audio guy. You need a good audio guy.
To toss that in.
Yeah.
Right. We'll take a break. We'll discuss other things. If you'd like to jump in, we'd love to hear from you. It's 312-981-7200.
Are Germans funny anymore?
That's the question
Germans
of the day.
Funny anymore.
Are the Germans still funny? Great question.
You're
Anna.
Welcome.
More after this. It's Bill and Anna in for Wendy on WGN.
Meet Abby. To Zoom.
Yes, rock the twins. What did you do?
I didn't do anything.
You did something.
This place is haunted. Anna Balaval is here. We're talking about the late, great Artie Johnson, whose work I admired a lot, but I'm trying to figure out if it holds up today. Do you think it does? I'm trying to think if we're in agreement on this or not. Is it still funny? Was it funny at the time? Or
Let me watch the documentary.
Yeah? All right.
Let me watch it.
Let us go to the phone lines.
Let us.
Jazzy, is this you?
It is me. How are you?
You're great.
My favorite person on air. You're so funny.
Oh, you're so very funny. Nice. I would have taken the call regardless of your thoughts, but thank you for that.
No, that's very, very nice. I just really enjoy listening to you. And I saw you this morning at that cooking place. I wasn't exactly sure if you buy that or if you go shop thing. I didn't understand entirely what they were doing, but I saw you. It was great.
They throw cooking parties.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cooking party.
Yeah. Cooking party. So for your birthday, you force your friends to cook with you.
Oh, I see. And then you eat together.
Oh.
Nice.
That's great.
Well, Artie Johnson was funny regardless. So you could have had him as a lion tamer doing that baddie and twisting. You could have had him as, you know, anything. He was just a physically funny person. The tricycle thing was funny because it was the scale of his body against the small.
Right.
That's what made it funny.
Yeah, you know what? I really enjoyed. I think it does hold up. I'm sorry that I disagree with you there, but I think it's so visually stimulating in terms of the way they put the sets together.
It's still good.
There was a lot of action and motion.
Maybe Bill is jaded.
I am jaded
after so many years.
Well, and
comedy.
It's very 60s. So if you wanted to find out what was life like in the 60s, and why are people smoking on stage there, and why are girls running around in bikinis? And,
yes.
Training their bodies, and who was Goldie Hawn? Who was Kate Hudson's mom? I mean, I think it's a really great historical.
Did you watch the special that's on Netflix, the reunion special?
No, I'm going to watch it now.
It's interesting.
I'll try to get back to you.
I think you'll be interested in it. But it didn't make me laugh the way I remembered the show making me laugh years and years and years ago. But it's a nice time capsule into that era.
It's really interesting that you guys say that my 11-year-old is very much into comedy.
Yes.
And she saw some clips from Carol Burnett.
Yeah.
So I bought the entire box set.
Yeah.
And when she watches the whole show, she's like,
Yeah.
I have to explain to her a lot of things.
Yeah.
Whereas in the YouTube era of putting the clips together, they don't let it breathe. Like, we had to get used to them laughing with each other. And we found that hilarious. And my daughter's like, what are they doing?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and I think for that, and also Lucy wasn't always funny. But I think it was pitched to a certain type of individual that may sit at home literally on their sofa watching TV, filling their time. So it wasn't like ha 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 funny. It was just past the time funny.
Yeah, there's something to that. No question. Jazzy, thanks for the call. Have a great rest of your weekend.
You too.
Thank you, Jazzy.
Bye.
I like her name.
All right, so Lucille Ball is interesting
because the great
Lucille Ball, the first woman of comedy, as she has been called. My wife said, doesn't it kind of take away, like, because I grew up watching Lucy all the time. Mm-hmm. My wife said, doesn't it kind of take away that all she has to do is put on a fake mustache and her own husband doesn't recognize that it's his wife? Because that happened on almost every episode of All of Lucy.
That's funny from Terry, though. That was funny. It's true.
But, yeah, it was a frequent plot point that she wanted to show up at Ricky's club. He said no. She puts on a fake mustache and shows up, and he doesn't realize
it's his
wife. Did
you know that was her right away?
Not right away, no. Right. It took a couple of minutes.
But didn't she leave, like, her hair done in her do?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, yes.
I think that's part of the funny thing,
yes.
right? Like, he is so clueless.
Right.
And she is so ditzy that she thinks she can put a mustache and pull it off.
And get away with it.
Yeah.
And the other one that still upsets me to no end is I loved the Honeymooners when I was a kid. I couldn't get enough of the Honeymooners. And then I start dating my wife, and my wife says, how can you watch that? And I go, are you serious? The Honeymooners? It's comedy gold. Mm-hmm. And she said, and it's true, he is mean to her for 29 and a half minutes every week.
I couldn't watch it.
And then in the last 30 seconds goes, baby, you're the greatest.
I didn't understand how people liked him being so mean to her.
He threatened her from start to finish. Oh, you're going places, Alice. You're going to the moon. And then he'd pretend he was going to punch her and send her to the moon.
Seriously.
And I never thought... So what was wrong with me? Why was I not saying, wow, this is very abusive? And yet... Like, in my head, it holds a very special place.
And it's really interesting that you're saying this because that was really big during your time, and then time changed, and your wife found it offensive.
Right.
And now the same thing happens, right? Like,
the
comedy that would be insulting and demeaning in 1998, you watch it now. Like, that's why, oh my gosh, Steve Carell says they can't bring The Office back.
Because it's so politically incorrect.
Because it's so politically incorrect. And I watched Friends the other day, and I'm like, holy, why would they say that?
You know?
And it's so stereotypical and so white, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, why would someone watch a show like this? And I loved it.
Right.
Until you're exposed to new stuff, and you go, oh, wow, I put up with that? Yeah.
Isn't that strange, though, how something can, it fits into
an
era?
We evolve.
So
hopefully.
We do evolve, but where does that leave something like The Honeymooners that was so important
in
to the
history.
World of comedy? So when you watch it now, you have to realize
it was,
that was 1950s
right.
funny.
Right.
It's not 2019
right.
funny.
Right.
Oh, isn't that something?
But did they improvise? Like, what was so special about them?
About The Honeymooners?
Uh-huh. Was it the first sitcom of its kind?
No.
Or?
That's a great question. What was so special about them? I would have said, before really thinking it out, it was the fact that they were at each other's throats, but in the end, they really loved each other. But somebody who knows better, my wife, will tell you, no.
That's a domestic violence victim.
He was being mean to her.
Yeah.
You can't. They weren't in love, but I saw the Cramdons as being very much in love.
You did?
Know? I did. I don't know. Maybe I'd have to watch it again. Although I do feel guilty now when I watch it. It's like, I'm laughing at this, but it's really an uncomfortable situation, mm-hmm. you know? And the other thing I loved about it was the simplicity, not just of the set, but of everything. It was the most black and white world. It was so gray and mm-hmm. dismal. Remember the episode? I don't know if
it sounds awesome.
I know. Am I selling it? If
right
I went into a network and sold it?
Oh, goodness.
That's how I'd sell it. It's a guy who he's always threatening his wife, and then in the very end, he says, you're the greatest.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll buy 12 episodes
of
that.
Let's do that.
All right. We'll take a quick break, and then there's more show. We're going to talk television with Alexander Zelbin from The Decider. He may have some answers. Yeah. He'll be on in just a little bit.
Alexander's the one we get every Friday.
Yeah.
I like him.
Yeah, he's likable. All right. Yes. More ahead. Bill and Anna in for Wendy on WGN. I know the song sounds like it's stuck on him, but it's not. That's supposed to be.
It is.
They intended it to be this way.
It's a very jazzy Friday.
Yes, it is. It's Bill Leff. It's Anna Balaval. You heard me right. Anna Balaval is here. She's filling in for Wendy Snyder.
You heard him say something.
I said something.
You're just not sure who it is.
Did you see this woman in Texas who decided to lick ice cream in the store and make a video out of it? Did you see any of this?
No.
Oh, this is crazy stuff. A woman filmed licking a tub of ice cream and returning it to a grocery store shelf in a viral video is now facing up to 20 years in prison, police said on Thursday.
That's a little much.
I have to say.
That'll show her.
That's a little much.
But it sends word to other potential ice cream lickers that this is not to be taken lightly.
Keep your tongue in your mouth.
That is solid advice, Anna.
Hashtag.
Yep.
That was a song, wasn't it? Keep your tongue in.
Yep.
Get your tongue out of my mouth. I'm kissing you goodbye.
Yep.
Goodness me.
That was, I think, Artie Shaw. He had a big hit with that. When you see this video...
I'm in a time capsule with the two of you.
So Steve and I are timeless.
No.
We transcend time.
That's what Sneed says.
Yep. Timeless and ageless. That's right. When you see this video, and I don't know if you... Did you see it, Steve? Did you see any of this video, this woman?
I have not. I've heard about it.
She goes to the store, and she's being egged on by somebody, a friend of hers.
Always the peer pressure.
Yeah. That's what it is. It comes down to peer pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So she takes out a tub of ice cream. She unscrews the top.
A pint or?
I guess.
A big one. A gallon.
No, it's not a gallon. It's either a pint or a quart.
A pint is, small.
Yeah.
On the smaller.
But small, but enough for you to say.
What flavor?
Oh, I want to say Rocky Road, I think. Let me see if it says in the story. It does not mention the flavor. Why does that matter? Why does that matter to you?
Hold on. Because if it's a crappy flavor, then
it's
whatever.
All right. You're saying a person can go into a store and if it's a
and
flavor that people don't like.
And this wasn't in Florida. It was in Eastern Texas.
Yeah. I didn't say Florida.
No, I know
it's Eastern Texas. You're right. Things that are abnormal, like if you read a story and it's something bizarre, you would go, well, that's standard in Florida, I guess, because that's what it's become.
Yeah.
But no, this happened in Texas, in Lufkin, Texas. But it causes concern because we all say to ourselves, when you see this, you go, well, that could be me getting that ice cream. I don't, like when I go ice cream shopping, I don't unscrew the lids to make sure no one's licked it. And even if they did, you can't tell.
Don't do that to me.
Don't do it.
The video of the guy drinking out of the soup ladle at Mariano's
That's
completely
sick.
Turned me off of
That's sick.
those kinds of salad bars and soup bars.
Who was the big star 2 or 3 years ago who did a video of her at a donut place licking all the donuts?
Was that Ariana Grande? Got a lot of backlash. I think it was Ariana Grande.
I think it was, yeah. Right?
If your partner was here, she would do that thing.
I'm almost okay if a star does it. I just don't like regular people doing it. But I think if it's a celebrity, then you can go...
We know where their mouths have been.
Yeah, with celebrities, you usually know where their mouths have been. But with just the common everyday shopper...
So she opened the tub and took that seal off because those...
This one didn't have a seal.
How did it not have a seal? Now I blame Bluebell Creameries for no...
I would imagine from this day forward, they'll rethink
you
that.
You need to put a sticker on top of that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry, you guys, if you said this, but didn't Bluebell have a real issue a few years ago? They had to recall a bunch of ice
cream like this? Stand by. I got to hear. Bluebell Creameries, the local manufacturer of the ice cream brand the woman licked, has called the incident a malicious act of food tampering.
It is.
Stand by. Okay. All tubs containing the mix of creamy vanilla ice cream with swirls of chocolate fudge and dark chocolate-covered roasted peanuts have been removed from the store's shelves as a precaution, the company said. The specific carton
nationwide
believed to be compromised...
Nationwide or just in Texas, does it say? Because I think they should do a nationwide pull-out.
The specific carton believed to be compromised was found among the lot. The company explained that its cartons are frozen upside down in production, which creates a natural tight seal by freezing the lid to the tub, meaning consumers would notice if any tampering occurred upon... See, that's the other thing. They're saying you would notice if you took the lid off. That's why they don't have a sticker.
But it's not it's not the ice cream consumer's job to test the ice cream to make sure no one's licked it. It's a very subtle lick. It's not a bit. It's not it's not like that at all. It's just a very subtle. Yep. It was like that. Uh-huh. Like the second one. So if you were to open it, I'm a big ice cream consumer.
Me too.
I would look at it and then I would go, This is fine. I'll just serve this up.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think anyone would lick it.
People are stupid.
What you said earlier, Anna, keep your tongue in your mouth. That's a good lesson for the kids.
For everybody.
All right, let's take a little break from this and go to the phones where Alexander Zelbin is standing by. Yes, he is. Hold on a second. Ashley, can you punch him in? I'm trying to do as little work as possible.
Yes.
So if you could just push that one simple button for us. Alexander, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you guys?
You?
Everything good?
Good, good. Busy licking some ice cream.
There's no reason for you to say that.
Did you take the seal off, though?
just so you aren't confused, Alex, although it's probably too late, Anna Balaval is filling in for Wendy, so put that change in your scorecard for today's show.
Okay, got it. Nice to meet you, Anna.
He has no idea what you just said. My name is Anna, just so you know.
Anna Balaval.
Filling in for Wendy Snyder. All right, a couple things to discuss with you right off the bat. The new season of Stranger Things, season 3, hit yesterday. What do we need to know?
That is great. First of all, it is the third installment of Stranger Things. There's 8 episodes, all new, on Netflix that dropped on July 4th, which normally wouldn't be a day that you'd stay inside and watch TV, but tons of people did. It's definitely well worth it. If you are a fan of the first 2 seasons, you're going to love this one. If you are mixed about the second season, which personally I was a little bit, there were things I liked, things I wasn't particularly a fan of, this rights all the wrongs. It plays like a big 80s action popcorn flick, complete with an Arnold Schwarzenegger stand-in, evil Russians, new monsters to deal with that are totally gross. It's funny. It's big. I cannot recommend it highly.
Oh, I'm so glad you're saying that.
No German soldier popping out of the weeds, though.
No, you don't get
it. It wouldn't translate.
No.
I told you, Russians, yes. No German soldier. I've never watched Stranger Things. Is that a scary show?
Yes.
Yeah, well, it's scary, but it's fun scary. It's not straight up horror, but there are monsters in it. The first season was probably the most straight up scary season. The second season complicated things with the mythology, added a lot of new characters. But this third season, there are definitely gross, big monster things that happen in it. Mm. But for the most part, like I said, it plays like that you're getting out of the air conditioning, going into the movie theater, get a big thing of popcorn and soda, and just have an absolute blast.
Aww.
You know what's great about it is the relationship that the kids have is similar to movies like The Goonies or E.T.
That's what I thought.
You know, it's got that kind of a feel.
Yeah.
And Alex, you tell me, but I love the opening credits. I love the way it looks like it's 1982. In the opening credits, just the font they use, the lettering, the music, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, the first season in particular, what made it so special is it felt like a lost Amblin movie from the 80s that just you hadn't seen before for no particular reason. And it's definitely effects-wise, money-wise, what they're putting into it, it's grown spectacularly and changed. This is huge, huge action, huge set pieces throughout. But it still stays in the 80s. It's captured the sense of that. There's little and big Easter eggs throughout. So, you know, if you're a fan of everything from The Thing to Fast Times at Ridgemont High, you're going to go, oh, I remember that thing. Oh, that's fun. But it's very much creating its own mythology and own ethos at the same time.
I love it.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Now, the question that always comes up with shows like this by the time they hit their third or fourth or fifth season is, do I need to have watched the early episodes to understand
that's
this?
That's my other thing.
You want to recommend that they see it, but do you need to see the early episodes? You should, though, right?
You probably should, just because they're shorter seasons as well. The first season was 8 shorter sub-hour episodes, so it's actually very easily digestible, which I will always argue is part of the reason it hit so big. Mm-hmm. The second season goes a little bit longer. It's 9 episodes long, but again, very bingeable. And this is only 8 episodes as well, so you can definitely jump right in. That said, the first episode of the season does a very good job of reestablishing all of the characters and introducing the new situations. So for whatever reason you're saying, nah, I don't want to check out season 1 and season 2, you can jump right in and get right on board with the new season.
Excellent. Anna, you got to see it. You'll love it. It's so much fun to watch.
One of my favorite shows was Aziz Ansari's show on Netflix.
Yeah? He's back on TV.
I'm blanking out on the name.
Master of None.
Master of None.
Aziz Ansari. Now, there's been some off-camera controversy with him, but now he's back with a special.
But not with that show. He's back with a special.
Right. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, there was a whole thing with a site called babe.net that now actually no longer exists as of recently. But in the midst of the height of Me Too controversy, somebody published a article saying that I spent a night with Aziz Ansari and it was the worst night of my life. It created a conversation about what characterized sexual harassment, what characterized sexual assault, etc. Without delving into that too much, he certainly has done plenty of club appearances, but he has not been back on TV and not been as prominent since. Now is a little bit of a surprise. On Tuesday, July 9th, on Netflix, there's going to be a comedy special called Aziz Ansari Right Now. It's directed by Spike Jonze, and I will say I haven't seen it, but we do know from people who saw his gigs and saw him perform live that he does talk about the Me Too era. He talks about the controversy a little bit. So certainly it's going to be something of interest both for fans of his and detractors of his to check out.
You know what's interesting about this to me, Alexander, is that other people in a similar position, I'll use Louis C.K. as an example, he's gone back and done stand-up, and he makes no mention at all of what he's kind of gone through the last couple of years. I think it's a brave move of Aziz Ansari. I'm anxious to see how he handles it.
I also think that there was a gray area with Aziz Ansari, whereas with Louis C.K., he was in blogs and message boards from other female comedians saying, watch out for him.
Yeah.
He's a pervert. He, you know, whereas with Aziz, it was a date that went wrong and he didn't know it had gone wrong. And afterwards she texted, we had a great time. And then that's what I remember of the story. Don't quote me because I do remember that there was a gray area and a lot of conversation of, was it after the fact that why did she decide after the fact or why would he do that if she said no? And then he said she didn't say no, or I thought I had a great date. So that whole gray area, whereas Louis C.K. was, I don't know.
It'll be interesting to see how he handles it.
Every single case is completely different and can be handled a different way. This thing in particular, and this is without throwing any shade about at babe.net necessarily, a lot of discussion was around that is, well, this is why you'd use multiple sources for these sorts of articles. You don't just tell one story with shoddy sourcing and shoddy description, which maybe there was a case to be made there for Aziz Ansari, maybe not, but the way that the article was handled, it wasn't great. So regardless, like you said, it'll be interesting to see the special. It'll be interesting to see how he handles it, how he talks about it. Some people have been more successful at coming back and talking about these things in a responsible way, and some not so much. So definitely very curious to see how he handles this on the special.
Our guest is Alexander Zalbin. He's the managing editor of Decider.com. We'll pick this up in just a little bit. If you have any questions or comments, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Anna in for Wendy on WGN.
Again, we're doing this?
Yeah. We just did
it. How many times do they see each other?
These will be the last two for the season.
Okay.
And then they'll wait, and then they'll do it again next year.
Okay.
It'll be fun. Alexander Zalbin is here. He's the managing editor. He's fun. He's the king of fun. He's the managing editor of Decider.com and chief in charge of fun for the same website, Decider.com. Alexander, here's a show on HBO that I'm not familiar with. What is I Love You, Now Die? I love the title.
Mm-hmm. This is a new documentary that's premiering, I want to say, Tuesday night. Yes, Tuesday night at 8 p.m. on HBO. It's a two-part documentary, and this is a true story about a girl who texted her girlfriend saying, kill yourself, and then he did.
I remember this case.
Horrible.
Yeah, so absolutely horrible, but it's in the line of true crime obsession stories that have been going on lately. There's been so many dramatic series, so many documentary series. One of our reviewers, Kayla Cobb, checked it out the other night and said, this is going to be your next obsession. This is the thing that you're going to talk about, want to find out more about. The documentary is apparently great. Again, it's over two parts, Tuesday night and Wednesday night. So if you are a fan of those sort of things, definitely clear your schedule because it's a fascinating, awful case you're going to want to know more about.
Excellent. And that's on HBO. And again, the title, I Love You, Now Die. Now, this next story is going to be very tricky for me. Here's why. I watch The View almost every day. I love The View. I know I'm not supposed to, but I've watched it from the very beginning, and I enjoy it. Mm-hmm. But there's an entanglement with Anna that I cannot say. Are you allowed to tell Alexander what the entanglement is?
Yeah, Bill brings up that I was at The View once auditioning,
right,
and it went awful.
Yeah.
And I'm a little touchy about it.
Yeah.
And he insists on trying to change my
attitude towards it. I always want to know more about it.
And he wants to know why. Mm-hmm. He thought I didn't do. I didn't.
I thought you did a great job.
You thought I did a great job.
Yeah.
I didn't. And he insists on bringing it up. I've known this man. How long ago did I go to The View? 5 years ago.
It was five and a half years ago.
Actually, 5.5 years ago.
Yeah.
In the summer.
Right.
And you still.
You want
to make me smile.
Yeah. I know. All right. So we have. I bring that up because
there's a possibility I could audition again.
There's a chance that Anna may be brought back in. They're rethinking their moves because one of the members of The View may be leaving soon. What can you tell us?
Now, there's been a lot of back and forth with this, as there always is on these sort of things. But there was a report from the Daily Beast earlier on this week that reportedly, Meghan McCain is tired of being on The View. She's feeling like a, quote, and this wasn't what she said, this is what somebody, one of their sourcing said, feeling like a caged animal at
wow.
The View and wants to leave. She wants to get out of there. It's just not working for her anymore. Now, our reporter, Claire Soderlund, actually contacted The View and got her own quote on it. That ABC said, no, we fully expect everybody will be back for the next season of The View. But as you guys probably know with these things, any of these things could be true. It could be salary negotiations on Meghan McCain's part. It could be sources who don't like her making things up. The Daily Beast is usually very trustworthy with these sort of things. We'll just kind of have to see what happens on this one. But certainly, Meghan McCain is a huge touch point, both for viewership on The View right now, as well as just people writing and talking about her.
Mm-hmm.
So I would expect if they can get her back, they'll want to get her back. Mm-hmm. Sorry,
I have to say, it's very hard to be the voice of the right wing on The View because they pit it in such a way that it's usually 3-on-1 or 4-on-1, and it's not the easiest job in the world.
It has to be exhausting.
It must be, right?
Yeah. I would say on the flip side of things, she's doing this for an hour and a half a week, however long The View is.
Yeah.
Good point, for a lot of money.
Yeah.
For a lot of money, and that's what your job is. And I do think, not to pull back the curtain too much, but considering we write about The View almost every day here at Decider, I've gotten used to the idea that I think there's a little bit of acting going on there, right? You know, they're okay with each other behind the scenes. So you amp it up a little bit for an hour, you put on your stage voice, you get angry about things, you yell back and forth, and you know what, that's what it is. But on the flip side, like you were saying, it's hard not to internalize these things sometimes, and if the entire world is writing her out to you and saying, how could you be so stupid to say X, why did you say this, and just picking on her constantly, that becomes a chore as well.
A taste of that once, and once was enough for me.
Were you on The View, Anna? I didn't know that.
Sangano.
Did you just order sangria? That's not a bad
no,
move.
No, seriously. I had the taste of once because it was like
it's impossible.
They grabbed the soundbite. It's like, what is she saying? Children in the United States don't suffer. And I was like, that's not what I said.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
I like one of the things I like most about the show is the fact that they put people on of different opinions, and many times they are duking it out. Now, you said she and some of the others, most notably Joy Behar and Sonny Hostin, are okay off air, Alex, but I don't think they like each other. I get no feeling at all that they like or respect each other whatsoever.
Really?
And I'm okay with that. I'm fine with that.
I mean, you know, listen, sometimes I love all of my coworkers here. They're all fantastic. But sometimes you don't like your coworkers, but you go and do your job anyway. And
so
it's
true.
Right.
Okay.
Very, very true. Right. All right. Help us with something we discussed before you had on. We lost Artie Johnson over the last couple of days. Artie, a mainstay on the old Rowan and Martin's Laughing. I was trying to get forth the point that as cutting edge as that show was in the 1960s, when you watch clips of it now, and there's a retrospect running right now on Netflix, it just doesn't hold up. Do you agree with that or disagree with that?
Yeah, it's just one of those things that was very much of its time. And certainly you can look at it in the span of comedy history and say, well, here's where it was placed. Here's how it launched these careers. Here's how it furthered the other careers. But jokes aren't necessarily at the forefront of comedy right now.
Yeah.
If anything, we have anti-humor. We have things that are working against jokes, or it's more situational or more character-based. So to have something where people just come out and say jokes and that's it is not necessarily de rigueur, but it has its place, and it was very important for the history of comedy, like I said.
I don't think you have Saturday Night Live if you don't have Rowan and Martin's Laughing. And Lorne Michaels got his start, or his American start anyway, on Laughing as a writer. So the roots are pretty obvious.
Maybe you just didn't like the documentary.
Nah, maybe. Although I've watched other episodes, standalone episodes in the past, and they just leave me so cold. And I loved that show years ago. I thought it was hysterical when I was
younger. It was about time you matured, though.
Yeah, I guess. Alexander, thank you so much for spending time with us. I hope you have a great rest of the week, and we'll talk to you again next Friday.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
You
Alexander
too.
Zalbin, he's the managing editor of Decider.com.
I'd like to apologize. My
for
producer
what?
For Around Town
Why?
Just texted me and asked me if I was eating my power bar on the air.
And
yes,
you
I
were.
Was, and I'm so sorry.
Well, your schedule is such that you have
I'm
to.
I'm starving, and you've known before that around this time I get very hangry.
Yes.
And if I'm not brought candy,
yes.
I get really upset because you guys don't offer lunch here.
There's no,
no lunch. Because
here.
You wake up, but you come in at night at 10.
Right.
Right when the show starts.
I had a single Fruit Loop before the show. I had one Fruit Loop.
And you work well hungry, but.
Yeah. But not you.
Not me.
You
and it was 11:15.
Like the Hulk.
That get very upset, and then you bring the worst out in me during that web.
By design.
During the noon.
The bonus hour.
The bonus hour.
Yes.
And I wanted to avoid that, so I thought you would have muted my thinking.
We don't have the ability.
But we don't have the ability, so I'm sorry, Natalie. You were right. I ate my power bar.
And now, how do you? Are you still hungry and angry?
I'm feeling
or
much better.
You're feeling better now.
I'm feeling much better. So it was worth it.
Success.
Listeners, it was worth it.
Yeah. Would you like some fondue?
No.
Okay.
But if anyone has a Twix, every time I'm here,
you'd be okay, you get a Twix?
I don't know.
All right. We'll take a little break.
Mary Sandberg came in empty-handed.
One of our bosses came in with it. And you insist, if you're going to come in, bring in a snack for you. There's nothing.
That's
you're not
all
asking
I'm
a lot.
For.
All right. We'll take a little
a
break.
Coffee.
Get
there used to be
on
a
trip to the salad bar.
Not anymore.
More after this. Bill and on in for Wendy and WGN.
There's the river. We can see the river.
You could see that, yeah. Steve, thanks very much. Anna Balavala is sitting in for Wendy Snyder, and you're part of the bonus hour also. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're looking forward to the bonus hour? That's going to be fun. That's on
that's
the stream only.
Loose.
Yes, that's when it gets crazy.
Mm-hmm. Wah, wah, wah.
Did you see that Joey Chestnut is once again the winner of the eating the most hot dogs in a short span of time contest?
Yeah, and every time I see that story on the 4th of July or Labor Day, I look away.
You don't want to see this?
No. I can't handle that.
He has won. Joey Chestnut has won for the 12th time. He is a special brand of athlete that they call competitive eater. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that that's an athlete? Are you an athlete if you can just down a lot of hot dogs, or
does he have to work out for this? Like, does he have to go to the gym?
I don't think he does. Nope. But
athlete is like hero. Take it easy with the term.
Well, do you consider... All right, let me throw a couple of ideas out at you.
Throw them.
Do you consider NASCAR riders or drivers to be athletes?
Well, that's a sport.
So you would say yes?
Those guys have to work out and train. Yeah. They can't just sit there with a beer belly and...
Yeah, so they are athletes.
Drive.
Do you consider bowlers to be athletes?
Yeah.
They are?
Bowling's a sport.
Yeah. But your qualifier was they can
eating
have...
eating Bill Leff. Yeah. Why are we discussing this? Why are you trying to get me in trouble? Eating. The guy sits there and just has to make sure he expands his stomach enough.
That's it. So he is not an
That's
athlete.
That's the training.
So he is an athlete.
What is the definition of a sport?
Of a sport or an athlete?
A sport.
I don't know the exact definition, but a sport is something...
Where there's physical activity.
You would think there'd be physical activity, yes.
Or now it's a competition, because right. Dance is not a sport. Dance is dance. It's art.
So they are not, dancers are not athletes.
Where they can be athletic.
But not bracketed under
They're not
the,
an athlete.
No. All right.
You do that. You always do that. He always does. He
I'm
throws it out
to,
there and
right?
says...
I'm just curious what you...
Follow her on Annabelle.
Because there have been golfers... Like, you've seen John Daly, right? John Daly
the
is...
The broadcaster?
No. That's Joel Daly. John Daly is
like, now it's like you're talking to my mother.
Is a golfer, but he's a big man. So to see him like in a crowd,
right.
Let's say there was a crowd of people, and I said, which guy over there is athlete?
The golfer.
You wouldn't pick John Daly.
Right. No,
you wouldn't think he'd be an athlete.
Right.
But by your definition,
but there are football players that
sport,
are massive,
right?
But still, if you see Spice Adams, he used to be a Bear, Chicago Bear, and Spice has a really cool Instagram account. You wouldn't know any of that,
mm-hmm.
but there are days where Spike is like. Kicking his leg. He must have played one of those where you have to be really a wide receiver or something.
Yeah.
He kicks his leg. His flexibility is incredible.
Oh, really?
And his stamina. I mean, like, the guy is in good shape, even though he is overweight.
Right.
And he was a big guy.
Yeah.
And so, you know, some sports call for that.
Right.
Wrestlers.
Right.
Sumo wrestlers, that kind of thing.
They're athletes. Sumo wrestlers are athletes.
Now you're giving me the eyes.
I agree.
Me that stare, you're like, you know, they're not.
I think sumo wrestlers.
You say it, I won't say it. I want to keep my job.
Not just, I would say sumo wrestlers are not just great athletes, but fashion trendsetters. Don't you think?
Sure.
Yeah. So Joey Chestnut has won for the 12th time. This is the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. He won it yesterday. You looked away. You said, I don't want to see. I can't watch a man eat 71 hot dogs.
And how long?
30 seconds.
That's impossible. I may change my mind about him not being an athlete.
It was a little longer than 30 seconds.
Was it? But, no, how long was it?
It doesn't say how long.
What do you mean it doesn't say? Come on. Give me the piece of... Hold on.
See if it says. But now here's the problem. Do you know who Peter King is? He's a sports writer. He works does he work for NBC still? I can't remember if he's still at NBC or not. So Peter King said, this is his tweet. A shame that at least a fifth of the children in America go to bed hungry nightly, but ESPN is highlighting gluttony, treating someone who overeats excessively as a competitive athlete. That's what he tweeted. He then ended his tweet by saying, truly disgusting. So are you in agreement with Peter King about the fact that there's kids going to bed hungry and here's a guy just throwing hot dogs down his throat left and right? We shouldn't be seeing this. It's obscene. Do you believe that or not?
You could say the same thing about McDonald's Biggie sizing everything.
You could say that. Yep.
All our portions are humongous.
Yes.
It's the American way.
Yeah. I like when you go to a movie theater.
I think one thing is comparing him to an athlete.
Yeah.
And one thing is children going hungry. I think Nathan's could donate... A ton
That's
of
what
hot
they
dogs
should do.
To a food pantry
they
or
should
to
say, we'll
the
match
food depository.
Whatever Chestnut
that's
eats,
what they
that's we'll match
what
it.
They should be doing,
you're right.
Right?
You're right.
But, you know, this is America. There's freedom for all pastimes and
right.
hobbies and sports.
Right.
So there I would have to disagree with him. I understand what he says. It's not a competitive sport.
Yeah.
Stop glorifying him for just this gluttony, show of gluttony, but that's their prerogative.
But is he anybody's hero? Is there anybody out here who considers Joey Chestnut to be their hero?
You'd be surprised.
Just because he can eat a lot of hot
you'd
dogs.
You'd be surprised in this world. In this world, you'd be surprised.
Getting back to your gluttony comment.
Uh-huh.
Did you ever go to a place where you order a small drink mm-hmm. and then you get a giant 32-ounce thing and you
well,
go,
this
wait,
what
this
we
is
have,
the
lady.
Small? This is the smallest? And if you go to a movie theater... That's the small is the 32-ounce, mm-hmm. then the 64-ounce is the middle, and then they've got a giant one, and it always says these words. There's an arrow pointing at it. It says, your best value. And you go, well, yeah, I guess if I'm going to take a bath in Orange Fanta.
Or if I don't want to watch the movie, I want to be in the bathroom the entire time.
Well, that's the funniest thing is on that Your Best Value one, they always offer free refills. And I say,
who?
It would take me a month to drink all that. Is somebody going back midway through the movie?
It's really funny because these last 2 weeks, I've heard two people talk about these restaurants in the area that challenge you to eat the gigantic burger.
You get it for free if you eat the whole thing.
If not, you have to pay $50.
Right. That's fair.
And I've heard it twice, and the two people that talked about it couldn't do it.
Yeah. It's impossible, you'd think.
How is that a challenge?
I don't know. So what did Joey do as a child that made him realize that this is the path he would take in life? What was going on in Joey's life? And why didn't he choose chestnut eating?
There has to be a documentary on Joey. Call us, 981-7200. Is there a documentary on this?
We want to know more about this guy.
And what did they do to him as a kid?
That's a good question. Did they not let a young Joey Chestnut, was he forbidden from having hot dogs at any price as a child?
And he's showing them now.
You know what, Mom and Dad? I'll teach you a lesson. I'll eat 71 of them.
I'm going to hit the cereal bar at the dorm at the university cafeteria.
Yes. I'll teach you a lesson.
Screw it if I gain 20 pounds in one semester.
Did you ever see during the competition, they wet them down? Like they take the hot dog and they submerge it in water. Mm-hmm. So that it slides down the throat easier.
So they're swallowing this whole?
Yeah.
I have so many questions.
It's a constant munch. It's a constant
choking hazard.
You know it is.
Because hot dogs are, always like cutting the hot dog really
into
small.
Into small hot dog pieces.
Yeah.
No, these guys just, like as one is going in, they're ready. Okay, so say you've got a hot dog in your left hand. As you're devouring that one, you're loading up your right hand with another one so that it's a constant nonstop flow of hot dog into your mouth.
That takes training.
I guess.
Athletic training?
Right. That's the debatable section of this. Is this athletic or not? Because it's always considered, it's ESPN who've made their bones broadcasting sports. So they're saying,
they're being whimsical. I think it's a tongue-in-cheek. Don't you think?
I guess.
Like, I watched that Steve Curry, is that his name, the basketball player?
Steph Curry's
mini golf thing
yesterday,
which is an awful show, but you could tell it's tongue-in-cheek, right?
Oh, that's on at night, that show? You got a big, elaborate miniature golf course, that one? Yeah, all right. So, yeah, they're kind of kidding.
You can tell me that that's a mini golf athlete? Give me a break.
So if you're a golfer, you're an athlete. But if you're a miniature golfer, you do not pretend to be an athlete. You can't fool me. You are not an athlete. It's the same move. It's the same move with the hands
but
with the club.
But it's not the same length. Like, you don't have to hit it as hard and as far.
No, you're right.
They would argue that the obstacles make it just as hard.
Right.
You know, the windmill.
Right.
Or windmill, I'm sorry.
Windmill.
The windmill. It's Friday.
Windmill is if you're making
it's
a special
Friday
bread.
And I can barely speak
you're doing
one
fine.
Language.
You're doing fine. I have to tell you that I have done both in my life. I have golfed and I have miniature golf.
Uh-huh.
I enjoy miniature golf 10 times as much as regular
golf.
Okay,
and the pro golfer they had yesterday sucked at the miniature golf.
Did he really?
Yeah, she. She lost.
Sorry. Yeah.
She couldn't get it. She was like, what?
Really?
She couldn't get the ball up a hill into a hole.
Wouldn't you think she'd be really
Jay
good
Ruiz
at it?
Jay Ruiz or whatever his name was.
He could do it.
Pro.
He could do it. Yeah. All right. We'll take a break and then we have more to discuss with you. Would you like to jump in? You can. 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Anna in for Wendy on WGN.
Did someone just laugh at us?
No, it's part of the song.
Oh, I thought it was Ashley.
No, you know how Duran Duran is. So you throw in a woman at the beginning laughing, you got the kids hooked. They love it.
Listen, Joey Chestnut, there is a documentary, The Competitive Eater.
What's it called?
Why Peter King, the sports writer, was mad because he watched 30 for 30.
Oh, I know that series.
And they just did one.
It's
featuring,
called The Good, the Bad, and the Hungry, on. I just found it now. The Good, the Bad, and the Hungry.
Okay.
Of course, the obvious takeoff on?
The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Very nice. Directed by?
Sam Shepard.
Yep. Sergio Leone. But nice try. You were close. If you were a competitive eater, this is a big if, giant if. What would your food of choice be? What could you down the most of in a short span of time?
I eat pretty quickly.
As a rule?
Uh-huh.
Yeah?
I don't know why, but my husband and I...
Why do you think that is? Really That's quickly. Interesting. Let's analyze for just a second.
I don't remember before kids, but I think it has to do a lot with having children now and having to feed them. And
so you're afraid that somebody will take whatever food you have. You're afraid
that
somebody,
I won't have time to eat it. It's not that someone's going to take it,
but that you won't. That one of your children will
they're
need you,
need me
and
for
you won't
something.
Be able to
yeah.
finish your mm-hmm. pork.
Hmm. And my parents are like, "Why are you eating so fast?
Take your time." So both your parents are more conventional, take your time eaters, mm-hmm. but you've decided to go fast. That's interesting.
I took a turn. I've disappointed them in many ways.
No, don't say that.
I'm kidding.
That's,
I'm kidding.
That couldn't be further from the truth.
Indeed.
So it's up to you. There's a big competitive eating. You're involved. You're
pasta.
One of the. It would be pasta.
Mm-hmm. That's my favorite food.
You could eat that
every day.
But there's a difference between it being your favorite food and the most quickly digestible food.
I could
food.
Totally like inhale that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It goes quickly down the gauntlet.
I would do Tic Tacs because they're very small.
You
could probably
you
eat 5,000 Tic Tacs
quickly.
In about a minute. Just keep them going nonstop.
See, I should take more time answering these things because my funny and creative friends always take time.
Yeah,
and I would need your reaction. You thought about that?
What about this for the rest of the show? Because mm-hmm. I'll still be peppering you with questions. Don't answer today. Come back next week. Come back one day next week, the middle of next week, Wednesday or Thursday of next week.
About that question, we'll do that segment.
Right.
About that question.
Right. Honest follow-ups.
Uh-huh.
We can do that.
Yeah.
Take a little time that way.
That'd to enjoy fun. The view.
Yeah. Here's my next question for you. Gloria Vanderbilt passed away
yes.
last week.
Oh, I grew up listening all about... My mom talked
you
about
love Gloria
Jackie
Vanderbilt?
O and Gloria Vanderbilt
How come?
All the
what
time.
Was it about her?
The epitome of elegance, the
Agreed.
Epitome of New York.
Yes.
Culture.
Culture.
Gloria Vanderbilt was like a Renaissance woman, and
yeah.
she had gone through so much and
yep.
survived it with elegance and reinvented herself and
mm-hmm.
was first a jean designer. I remember the Vanderbilt jeans.
Sure. Prestigious.
And my mom loved Jackie O because my parents are Catholic. They were the same age as the Kennedy. And
both your parents wore pillbox hats. I've seen pictures of your mom and dad both wearing pillbox hats.
And don't go much further than my mother was the president of her sorority then, and she would copy Jackie O's dresses.
Did she really?
Yes. And when Jackie O died, my mom found out that Jackie was using, at the end of her life, powder blue stationery. My mom bought herself powder blue
stationery. Oh, she admired her to that extent.
Her friends would call her to give her condolences.
Oh, really?
Big time.
What a close
time. We call her Ana Vionasis. The Puerto Rican Jackie O.
The Puerto Rican Jackie yeah. O.
Big sunglasses like Jackie.
Oh, she did?
I actually took her to the apartment, to the outside of the apartment one year.
Oh.
So she could see it. And
That's like the Holy Land.
She just like almost curtsied at the doorman.
Here's why I bring this up. It was announced upon her passing, Gloria Vanderbilt, mm-hmm. that despite the fact that she was a very, 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 very wealthy woman, mm-hmm. that money would not be given to her son, Anderson Cooper.
Right.
She told Anderson Cooper early on, there's no trust fund. So don't be working on the idea that at some point you're going to inherit a crazy amount of money, because that's not what's going to happen. Now she dies, and we find out that despite her telling Anderson Cooper that was not the game plan at all. Anderson Cooper gets the bulk of her estate, of her fortune. So here's my question. Was that a good move or a bad move? Because I think that this was a great move because it motivated him to make something of himself. That maybe a young Anderson Cooper, if he goes, well, at some point, my mom's going to die and I'm going to have countless millions. I don't really need to apply myself that much. I can try, but I don't need to knock myself out. But he did. He did knock himself out, and Anderson Cooper became Anderson Cooper. So is that a good move or a bad move to lie to your kids and say, even though I have a lot of money, you're not going to be seeing that money?
I think it's excellent.
It is, right?
I think if you have a trust fund, you have a safety net, and you can... Well, I know people who have trust funds, and they can access it after age 21
yeah.
or age 30. So there's always that backup, right?
Yeah.
Whereas here, she wanted to make sure they made something out of themselves up until her death. And
yes.
she died at 90-something.
Yeah.
So she made them wait. You know, she lived a long life, was able to take care of herself. She wasn't a burden to her children.
Right.
There was plenty of money to go around.
Yes.
And so I think it's a great lesson.
But you see my point about him, right? If you're
oh,
him,
absolutely. But Anderson Cooper also found his calling very young and grabbed a camera and went to Africa to cover stories and then send them back to see who would buy them from him. You know, who would
But say
hire
the story
him.
Played out the opposite. And she would have said to the young version of Anderson Cooper when he was just a little kid with white hair, hey, Anderson,
premature gray.
All this fortune around you. Don't forget, one day you'll get it all. Uh-huh. Don't you think then to him, he goes, wow, no matter what I do,
I'm okay. Yeah.
I'm set forever. Mm-hmm. I don't really need to go crazy. Mm-hmm. Whatever happens, happens. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have a whole bunch of money. I think this was a great move, and I hope my dad is doing the same thing. I hope he's lying to me about not having a lot of money.
I think he did.
And at some point, I become very wealthy.
I think he did. I think it's gone.
That's what I would hope.
That train left the station.
We talked about this a couple weeks ago, and people were texting in saying, well, if you have kids, wouldn't the money just automatically trickle down to the kids? But you see this with a lot of the richer people now. They're saying, oh, no, that's the worst thing you can do to a kid is just hand them a giant, insane amount of money.
Yeah.
And I kind of get that.
Yeah. My parents have been very fortunate and have money.
Yeah.
No one in our family is waiting for them to inherit.
Really?
You know, even my mother said, you know, what's left is for us to live a good life and not be a burden to you. And we never, ever think
that
they are
you?
Our bank.
Right.
Like if we are in financial trouble, my husband and I never think of, let's hit up my parents for it, or his parents who are deceased. His parents would, like when we had to buy a car, my in-laws gave us the cash for it. And we're like, so we would pay them back.
Yeah.
And well, that's not how we weren't raised that way. That's not how we operate.
It's better.
So, yeah.
What do you think about this? Every once in a while, you'll see an older person die. I was going to say older woman, because more times than not, it's a woman who does this. And they leave their vast fortune to their cat. What do you think's behind that?
Wait a minute. You know who just did that? I think Karl Lagerfeld just did that.
He did that.
Because he treated that cat like family.
But a cat, their ability to manage money,
that is a screw you to everybody else. You know what I'm saying?
More times than not, if you're a cat with a large sum of money, you're going to squander most of it.
You're going to squander it.
You're going to buy cat toys that you don't need.
You're going to have a litter box in every room.
Right.
You know?
But to Karl Lagerfeld's cat's side, Karl himself had a litter box in every room. No one knows why. He just did.
I wonder, and I don't know anything about inheritance law, but I wonder if that is kind of symbolic. They'll leave it to the cat, but then that's the bulk of it, but they leave other stuff to...
They always leave. There's always a token...
Like a caveat. Like, okay, well then, this is for the Humane Society or...
Right. But if you're the child in that scenario, if you have a very rich parent or parents...
And they leave it to the cat?
They leave it to the cat. That is your mom or dad's way of saying...
Screw you.
We liked you.
We love
but Snowball. Snowball deserved...
He stuck around.
All right. We will take a break. We'll close things off. Anna and I are headed toward the stream. We would love to have you join
us. We're taking a walk to the stream.
We're going to walk to the stream.
Day.
Why wouldn't we do that? So stick around. All that will happen next. It's Bill and Anna in for Wendy on WGN.